Mir nicht später.
Just a word about the Shia itself. It's the first time I'm having, should I say, this Shia to this Shia. Chazal tell us that there's a certain Shia. The Gemara says in one place that Ein Tchilas Dina Shel Udam El Al Din Toya Al Divre Toya. In the coming world, the din of a person will only be about Divre Toya. But then we find that there's a Gemura in Masechet Shabbos that tells us that the first question is going to be, is Nesusa V'Nesatu Be'Amina? Whether your dealings were straight. And then after that is Pilpal Tu B'Chochma. So, L'Choyer it's a Stira. Here we find that that the Divre Toya is first. And you will find them in the Susa and the Sata Baminas first. So, Sfur Makdashim tell us that the answer to that is that the question is not one question, the Susa and the Sata Baminas, whether your dealings were honest. The question is like this. We ask a person, how loyal was he to his business? Were you loyal to your business? And when his answer is yes, were you as loyal to your Gemurah as you were to your business? It's all one question. Were you loyal to your business? Were you also loyal to the Torah as loyal as you were to your business? Now, to start the day with a Shia before the business is, I think, going to stand quite good for all the people who may have to share Naish and Sil. But Kim and Ahin, it'll be a big schiz for everybody concerned. What I want to talk about today is in today's world, everybody knows the government regulates too much every aspect of our life. Whatever they haven't yet, they will tomorrow. So the master, it used to be what a person wants to eat and the way a person wanted to live was his own choice. The question was whether he could impose it on others. But what he did himself was his own choice. Nowadays, the government, quite a long time, has decided that people have to do what's safe, and they found all ways and means of imposing things that seem to have to people to have been quite independent of what belongs to the government remit, such as Bris Mila and Shchita. This is all old time stories. It's not, nothing is new. In the time of the Yevunim, they also came with the Bris Mila was forbidden. And in the time of the Romans, it's all not new, but all this stems from anti-Semitic, as we all know, it stems from anti-Semitic views. I'm not sure how I should say this in public, but the Animal Welfare Council are the ones advocating that we reconsider to the animals. As it happens, when we see them dealing with the animals, they give them much worse treatment. But it's the Shechita that's the problem. And the Masters have been imposing on the Shechita a very lot, and they're continuing to do so. I think this year they're trying to enforce new regulations. With Hashem's help, it shouldn't go through. But what they're trying to do is that they should license a Shechita if he's qualified to Shech, and they want to sort of regulate how many checks he's allowed to do. All this has got nothing to do with them. But as we say, you know, the poor animal is suffering. Actually, just as a small note, the way they advocate for us to shech is by pre-stunning. I've seen pre-stunning in action, and pre-stunning many times doesn't work. I've even seen when they slaughter their own animals for their own consumption, and they with the duvaracha, with the pigs, they usually dip it into boiling water to be able to take off the hairs, because they don't skin it. So they take off the hair of the animal, they dip it into boiling water. I've seen more than once they dip a live animal into boiling water. The screams were not normal. Nobody even heard anything. There were no animal inspectors didn't come. Nothing happened. It's only when the shechita, you know, maybe you know, it's a little bit painful when the animal, after the knife has gone through, it's still painful. You know, you can't check it then. At that time, the animal is suffering pain. nobody mentions ever anything about, but whatever it is, the fact is we are bound by the law, and we've got to conform to them. Dina la malchisa dina, and there's also, I think, a prison sentence for not listening. So there's no way out. So the Maase, the way of shechita that used to be in previous times was where the animal was lying down. That was the way of shechita. Rashi actually says, "V'zi ikeder shechita." This was the way it was done. It was simply the easiest way. It's much easier to hold an animal lying down than to hold an animal when the animal is standing on its 4 feet and has all the power, all the powers to fight. When you have him lying down, all the animal can do is move the head or whatever. That was the way it was always done, and that is obviously would have been the preferred way to do it today. But as we say, the government didn't intervene, because originally the way, I'm talking originally many years ago, the animal was thrown down by humans. And obviously, when you throw down an animal, it depends on how strong the one doing the job is, and it could, I suppose, they looked for ways to make it easier, where they invented a pen called the Weinberger pen, which was where the animal walked into the pen, and then the pen turned over, and the animal with it, to save the human strength for things like that, and also to have it done safer. And so at the time when the government came to inspect the Weinberger pen, it wasn't working the way it should have, and the animal still had room for moving inside the pen, and therefore when the animal turned over, it appeared that the animal was in distress. So that, at that time, the government ruled out the Weinberger pen and looked for alternatives, where the new pen came in, which is, as we know, an upright pen. In many places in the world, there isn't an upright pen. In Azizul and Ireland, and in many places in Poland, there still is the old Weinberger pen. I'm not sure whether it's the Weinberger pen or a similar one, but it's the same idea of having the animal walk in and turning over the animal. Now, when this came out, when this new pen came out, there was obviously the question of the validity of shechita standing, whether it's a katchila or it's a dievet or whatever. And at the time, many gedolim were very concerned with bichlal letting the government intervene. And there was at the time a school of thought that perhaps we should let the government ask the shechita rather than let them intervene. That was the debate at the time. But the rabbonim at the time felt that it wouldn't be reasonable or legitimate, and if it would be imposed, we could later not suggest on our own, at least our own requirements that we need, which are essential for us. If we allow them the basic principle, if there isn't a shalah and a lucha, then we can ask for what we want as a concession. They should allow that the law should go through with our own requirements built into the law.
Which was what's wrong with the new pen, did you say?
Well, the original way of shechita was having the animal lying down, which is the way shechita was done always, and to change it is always, it poses a problem. Yeah. Well, the first problem was that the government actually intervened on how we do our shechita, which is in itself a problem. For that problem, they decided on overlooking it. I mean, they decided that it wasn't a choice. So now, the shal is how valid it is, whether it's as good, better, worse than the old method of shechita. I just want to add that apparently, well, since 1995, it's become law that all animals have to be, all animals that cannot be carried by a single person have to be slaughtered upright in a pen. That is the law. I think there's a 3 month imprisonment for disobeying this law. I want to just add, before we continue with this, I want to say that shechita in and of itself is a very, very complicated job. Shechita is not a job that is done like operating machinery or anything else. It's, I would say, more difficult than computer programming. Shechita is something that needs so much concentration. And this, the problem why I'm saying it's more complicated than computer programming is because in computer programming, if you don't concentrate, you won't get your job done. In Shechita, you'll get it done, but it won't be satisfactory. That is the big problem. I'll give you an example. For instance, the Bedika of a Chalaf. The Bedika of a Chalaf is, for those who don't know, the Bedika of a Chalaf needs 12 Bedikas before we start Shechting. 12 bedikas mean that every chalaf has three sides. There's the point, the edge of the knife, and then there's the two sides. And one is supposed to feel the most, how should I say it? The slightest feel of it not going through smoothly will already make it a problem. Not always it will mean that it's terrible, but it will always make it a problem. If a sheikha doesn't feel that pegim adake menadake is the illusion of the simul chadusha. Pegim adake menadake. What adake menadake is, obviously, depends on like how long is a piece of string. What is adake menadake? And that is something that is up for debate, if I may say. But if a sheikha doesn't feel it, or for that matter anybody who is worthy of a chalaf, his bedikah of a chalaf is useless. And that is supposed to be done on three sides, both ways. It's supposed to be done backwards and forwards. Really, the reason why we say 12 bedikas is because there is another bedikah. The one bedikah is on the nail, and the other bedikah is on the flesh of the finger, which is nowadays not done. The Pritoya, the Rechama Kudish, made a side of Pritoya, he says that the old Shochtim told him that they remember what it was. Bedik on the flesh was. Nowadays, no, there's nobody now who remembers what it is. So nowadays it's not done. So nowadays one does only 6 bedikas. But we still call it 12 bedikas because there is a pusik telling us that 12 bedikas are necessary. But at any rate, 12 bedikas are necessary. 6 bedikas are necessary for every chalav before it's rendered kusha chalav, the omei shecht. And after the shechita, it again needs bedikah. It doesn't need 12 bedikas anymore, it's enough 2 bedikas, one bedikah on the way up and one bedikah on the way down, because once the chalaf has been wet, it's much harder to make the bedikas, because the wetness will cause the finger to slip, the nail to slip much faster, and a bedikah, it would make it completely different. In and of itself, it's a job to be able to be boydik. Even those who can be boydik a chalaf, not all can be boydik a chalaf when it's wet. It's a separate illness to be boydik a chalaf instead. Whatever it is,
can you wipe it?
Well, if you wipe it, you might wipe away a slight imperfection that there was in the chalaf. You won't get the right impression.
A cloth will take away better.
A cloth won't take away a richtig pegimim, but it could camouflage it for a little bit. It's not the preferred way, is not to wipe it. The preferred way is really to, it's difficult to explain this to anybody who hasn't tried this, but when one is boydik a chalaf, there are so many things that you feel besides for the boydik of the chalaf, there are so many other things that you feel. One can feel the fat that is on the animal, the natural fat, and can be mistaken for a pegimah. That is how only somebody experienced can feel it. You can make mistakes in the chimra as well, which is also no good. But what I'm saying is, total yeshuv adas is necessary. Total concentration and total peace of mind is necessary before one starts actually to be boydik the chalaf. Beforehand, somebody can be boydik a chalaf, and a minute later, after he's had time to rest, and he's had a coffee, and he's boydik again, and he finds things he didn't find before. That is why I say it's more difficult than computer programming, because in computer programming, if you can't concentrate, you can't do your job. Here you can do your job, and you won't find what you need to find, and the animal, it can be a difference between a weiler and kusher fleisch. That is why I say that it's one of the things that are much more, really much more important than what way the bahima is. But anyway, what can be the problem with the upright bahima? Now, there is a gemura that tells us, the gemura brings a few ways of shechita. The gemura tells us whether about some things which are ba'im betulish, ba'im bemechile. Tulish means when a knife is in a sheikh's hand. That's tulish. Mechibe means when you put a knife into the wall and take the animal's neck and move it over the knife. That is called mechibe. And the Gemara says that ba'im betulish, ba'im bemechile. And then there's also ba'im elamalo, ba'im elamatu. You can either do the knife on top of the neck, which is, and the ba'im is lying down, or you can do it the other way, with the neck up on top of the knife, and the knife going, that's ba'im elamatu, ba'im elamalo, ba'im elamatu. So the Gemara has the whole debate whether it's lechatchila or b'dieved. The maskun of the Gemara is that it's all lechatchila. And the Tzvi Shor, who is our, the Sim Chadusha, he is our prime authority in Shchita, he says that it's all a correct way of Shchita, whether you have it lemalu or lemato, whether you have the neck on top of the knife or the knife on top of the neck, the main concern is it shouldn't be, if you have the knife mechibe, it shouldn't be from on top, because when you have the knife mechibe and you're moving the neck, you might press the neck. Now the shchita is supposed to be a cut. A cut is only when you go, the movements are forward, backwards and forwards. If the movements are down, vertical movements rather than horizontal movements, that's not called a cut. That's actually called, it's the pressure of the knife that's cutting, it's not the sharpness of the knife that's cutting. The sharpness of the knife will only cut if you move it vertically, if you move it horizontally. If you move it vertically, it won't cut, it'll tear. It's true, to us it looks like cutting. And the stronger the person who pushes, the more pressure that's put, it'll cut. But it's not actually a cut, it's a tear, which is not crucial for shchita. For shchita you need cutting. And if you're going to be putting the hammer from the neck of the behemoth from on top of the knife, and you're going to be moving the neck, you might be pushing the neck down, which is why it's not the Tzvi Shor does not allow this type of shchita. But if you do it the other way, of putting the moving the knife horizontally underneath the neck of the behemoth, the Simcha Jews says that it shouldn't be a problem. Only, but there's one condition, that the neck should be, that the head should be tied from above. There wasn't a pen once upon a time, so they had to have a string tied to the head of the Baima, and having the head tied would prevent the neck of falling onto the knife, which would put the pressure the other way, which would put the pressure onto the knife, and instead of having a horizontal cut, you'll have a vertical cut by way of the neck of the animal pressing onto the knife, which is what the main problem of Shchita Emedes is, because the Baim is standing, and once the Baim loses its consciousness, it will obviously fall onto the knife, which is a problem. Therefore, the Simcha Chadusha tells us that if you want to shecht with a knife underneath the neck, it needs to be with the head tied. Once the head is tied from above, you haven't got a problem, because, and then he says this is shchita lekatchila, and the same view all achronim save for one or two believe that this is shchita lekatchila, even with when the head is tied. Now, at the time when this shchita came out, Meches Yitzchak was asked about this, and Meches Yitzchak obviously said that it would be best. There's a shiva from the Meches Yitzchak, Tuvshin Lamed. Tuvshin Lamed is 1970, which was when they tried to introduce it in England, and I think that's when the Weinberger pen came out. Before the Weinberger pen, they were considering having a pen upright, the way we have it now. So the Meches Yitzchak at the time was dumb about this problem, and the Meches Yitzchak says that he brings a cipher called Minchas HaZevach. Minchas HaZevach was the author was a shochet, but he was a very big Talmud Chacham, and he says that it's not like a tchila to have it, to have shchita stand when the animal is standing, rather have shchita when the animal is lying down. Now, the Meches Yitzchak is trying to debate why he says it's not like a tchila when the Simcha Chadusha says it is like a tchila, and he notes that the Meches HaZevach says because when you shecht the animal, the animal will automatically be falling. So the Moshe Sitzchok takes out from this, I mean, he says that it must be that the Mechsa Zevich is talking about when the head is not tied. Because if the head would be tied, it couldn't fall. So, interesting to note that one of the poskim after the Mechsa Zevich, Maya Brandstoffer, he had a Mechsa Zevich, and he says that in a Mechsa Zevich it says that even when the head is tied, it should also not be done. Even when the head is tied from above, it should also not be done. So he says that accordingly, so the Mechsa Zevich's raya, that when it's tied, even the Mechsa Zevich is moider, is not true. And therefore, he says it's not like a tchila. But actually, I took a Mechsa Zevich and I had a look. The Mechsa Zevich, the reason why the Mechsa Zevich says that it's not like a tchila, he doesn't actually say it's not, the shechita is not like a tchila. He said it shouldn't be done like a tchila. He said when there is another way, it shouldn't be done. And the reason is, because there was one of the poskim about 20 years before this time who wrote Shtikl Torah, and he asks kashas on the Simla Chadush's way of learning the Gemurah, and he has a different way of learning the Gemurah, and according to him Shchita Mehemet is only B'diyevet. So therefore he says L'katchila, we need to know that the Shochtim at the time, most Shochtim who wrote Haluchas for Shchita didn't pass them. They brought together all the dais and they generally write the most chimritic way in order to be yotze everybody's view. The psak they left for the Rabbunim, but the Shchitas that came out and were not compiled by Rabbunim usually have more chimris than the Haluchas requires. Therefore, this Mechsa Zevich was a shechet, and when he wrote the Shvitas, being that he had, it's actually called Derech Chaim, the cipher that he had was Derech Chaim. The cipher Derech Chaim learns Pshat in the Gemurah different to Tzvi Yisrael, and Tzvi Yisrael is actually our prime authority. The Prima Gudim says on the Tzvi Yisrael, Ashehi Luni Le'ainayim Ba'aluches Ayli. He is our eyes in these Aluches, Nechsa Shvita. Nobody today can become a shechet without knowing Simon Chadusha. Every shochet before he becomes a shochet, before he gets a kabbula, he needs to have a faher on simul chadusha to know that he knows simul chadusha. Not only that, one of the conditions for him receiving a kabbula is that he learns regularly simul chadusha, that he shouldn't forget it. Simul chadusha is from the Tzvi Yisrael. Tzvi Yisrael was the one who made the simul chadusha, and he the Derech Chaim learns a different pshat in the Gemurah, and according to that pshat in the Gemurah, it's only b'diyeved. And the Mechsa Zevich wanted to be Yotze also this Derech Chaim, therefore he wrote that it's, if you have another way, don't do it that way. He didn't write that it's a B'dievet Geshchita. He wrote that if you have another way, don't do it that way. But as being that the Rabbunim at the time felt that if you'd fight something like that, you'd be losing everything, therefore they agreed to have it Shchita made this, and I think that anybody who sees today's pen will see that today's pen is not only that the head is tied from above, the animal is restrained from all sides. When at the time when Shchita was lying, the head of the animal could move to either side. It was only held down by the ground. The ground was what kept it from moving, but it could move to either side. Nowadays, the chin is restrained. The cheeks, the side of the animal is restrained. The body, the muscles, the shoulders are restrained. Everything is restrained. The only thing that's basically open is the neck, and therefore it's not possible for the animal not to fall or to do anything, which is much better than they could have ever imagined. In that case, there isn't even a chashash. Now, what did we gain by negotiating with the government? We can't list all the benefits, but one of the benefits that there are is a shochet, we know, as we've said, needs to make vertical movement, a horizontal movement to make the shchita kusha. How many movements does he have to make? He's allowed to make 100 movements or 200, as long as he doesn't stop in the middle. If he stops in the middle, that's shehir. But as long as he doesn't stop, he has to be cutting all the time. Otherwise it would be stopping. But as long as he's cutting, if the knife is blunt, he can be cutting all day.
It's the same cut. He mustn't move it.
He mustn't move it anyway. Okay. It must be the same cut.
Same cut.
But as long as he's doing the same cut, he may be doing this all day. Now, at the time, the government suggested that the shochet should only be allowed to make one cut. One cut means backwards and forwards. And that would be it. If the animal doesn't die, it should be shot. Now, it's a very good idea, and most shochtim today... It depends on how long the knife is.
No, you said if the animal doesn't die, then you should shot.
No, immediately. He has to take out his knife straight away. The animal won't die. he hasn't cut through the simunim to the very end. Even though the shechita can be kusha, if he hasn't cut through the simunim to the very end, and the carotid artery which is behind it, the animal won't die. It can take a long time. That would mean that the shechet would be under tremendous pressure to cut it in one cut, and it wouldn't give him the ishav hadas he needs to shecht. So at the time, the later Rav Pazel was at a meeting, and he said, you might as well forbid shechita. We're not prepared to shech under those circumstances. And the inspector was actually a government minister, was very shocked. He said, that is our condition. You either let us cut the way we feel we need, or you forbid shechita. We'll go along with it. We won't shecht here. And the minister agreed, and he made a small change. The wording was a rapid movement by the slaughter. He changed it, took out the A, and after movement he wrote an S. Instead of a rapid movement, it's rapid movements. And that is the way the law is to this day. Now, something very interesting to note, the Animal Welfare Council was the one who recommended this. And they gave out the guidelines of what they recommended. And later they gave out a copy of the law. Now, they gave out a copy of the law the way they recommended it. And I was once by a shechita and I watched the shechet shecht. And the inspector said, you shouldn't be cutting it so many times. And the shechet was quite new, and he was a little bit shocked. And I said, why shouldn't you be cutting? You're only allowed one cut. So I said, that's not true. You're allowed more than one cut. And she said, no, you're allowed one cut. And I brought out, I had a copy of the law, and I showed her. It said rapid movements. So she agreed, and she went away. But in truth, I know where the mistake comes from. In her guide, it says a rapid movement. Not only that, we once had a different inspector who refused to move, and then I actually told the inspector that there is an offense of obstructing a slaughterer of doing its work, which carries a month imprisonment. It was an interesting joke. If not for that, the inspectors could really... And at the time, the inspector immediately understood what was wanted and vanished. But this was one of the things that we... This is one of the things that we gain by agreeing to what was mitzvah al pialucha, which is no shala. According to what we've seen here, it's no shala. The Mechisitzchak adds one little point, which could be a shala, which is that the shochtim are not used to the way of an animal standing, which is why it shouldn't be changed. That would all be fine, well and good if there would be a law that we are allowed to shecht it lying down. Being that there isn't a law of allowing to shecht lying down, the shochtim are anyway not used to shechting it lying down either. And so, in any event, the shochtim would need to train. So if they're training now, they have to train according to the new law. That problem is also not present. So accordingly, one needs a view of a Das Torah to be able to realize on what one should... we have to select our wars, should I say. And what is kedai to fight, and what is not kedai to fight. A law which would inevitably be there, it's not kedai to fight. But these things, or for instance, sterilizing the knife. I mean, the list is long, but I don't know till when I have. So the Ajdalevshin, the new Gzairet shouldn't be coming in, and we should be able to cope with the old ones, which are not so easy. The truth is, just a little note on that. At the time of Shabsa Tzvi, there was a lot of kfir going on. One of the tzaddikim at the time said that the way the Moldova was matzliach to be able to get into the minds of people, so many people, even who were getrayed to Hashem, many greatest mentioned were there. The way that he managed to get into them was by controlling the shochtim. He positioned shochtim in many big towns, and the shochtim were not proper Yerushalayim, and they accordingly the meat was not kosher, and people who ate not kosher meat had had ashpua on who they were. So we have to know that what we eat is who we are. And we say after the Shema, the Mitzvah is not so easy. The Mishnah, the Mitzvah is not so easy.